How do we help clients who feel like they just don't matter, who don't feel valued to the point that it saps their energy and ambition? One of the most difficult challenges in working with depression is low motivation. When motivation drops, it can drag a person's self-worth down with it. Dr. Shelley Harrell has seen many clients who struggle with this, and she's looked at several ways to disrupt the underlying patterns. Here, Shelley shares one approach that can help reverse a vicious cycle of depression and low motivation.
One of the things that I think is really challenging in working with people who are clinically depressed is the low motivation, the amotivational state of, sometimes it's even hard for people to be compliant with treatment. One of the things that I think about with that is the experience that clients have, outside of therapy with family members who may get impatient with that and just say, snap out of it. And so one of the things I think about a lot is issues of shame, issues of people just in addition to, low motivation and probably feeling, not productive and not able to do the things that they're typically doing, there can be a sense of shame. So one of the issues that's always in my mind is trying to assess for that and allow people space to really talk about that, to name it, because I think that it's often there. So that's important thing for me in terms of low motivation. In terms of the other kinds of issues that seem really important, for me, one of them is meaning and purpose. I think, of course, with depression and not feeling motivated, sometimes people don't feel useful. They don't feel valuable. They don't feel like they matter, right? And so thinking about that as potentially underlying some of the depression, I like to work with people to try to reconnect with what's meaningful to them. What even for some clients, talking about purpose, talking about what do you see as an important purpose that you can really focus in on. And so rather than just trying to eliminate the symptoms of depression, to begin to look at kind of what's maintaining it. And I think both shame and sense of meaninglessness can maintain the depression as well. I also think about this issue that some folks have referred to as a virtuous spiral, right? So rather than a vicious spiral, a virtuous spiral. Low motivation and not being productive leads to more low motivation and not being productive and feeling more and more like I can't, more and more like I just can't. So the virtuous spiral speaks to trying to interrupt that, trying to disrupt that with anything, the smallest thing that can either connect to meaning and purpose or can engender positive emotion, right? So one of the things that I'll often have clients do who are depressed is make a list of 100 things that are pleasant to them, right? And or that they used to find pleasant, even if they don't find it pleasant now. And a lot of clients are like, no, I can't do that. Nothing makes me happy. And I push it and push it. And it may take several weeks for them to come up with this 100 list, but we'll practice examples in sessions. So I talk about things like color. Is there a color that just makes you kind of lift just a teeny bit? So we're not looking for the most highest intensity of pleasure, but just people begin to recognize a shift when it happens, right? Is there a flower that you just think is beautiful? Is there music, that a song that you can remember from a happier time in your life? So anything where you can help clients recognize that a shift happens. Often when people are depressed, they lose the ability to notice that there is variability even in depression, right? There's variability throughout the day. So how can we intentionally bring more into a person's life that gives those little lifts.
It can be hard when clients aren't able to notice those small fluctuations and changes that they experience throughout each day. That right there is a key part of how depression can hold a client's motivation in check. You see, when you feel in your core that nothing will ever be different, it can keep you from seeing the change that is happening around you. Life just flattens out and a client's energy plummets. But as Shelley pointed out, if we can help people get that small lift, if we can help clients see the little highs and lows that depression often hides, it can spark vital growth.
And so that virtuous spiral begins to start. So once, you know, for me personally, it's color purple. I love the color purple. I see the color purple and I lift. And so people often resonate with just even simple things like that. And once you get that lift, then sometimes people cognitively can expand and think of more things that, you know, create a sense of pleasure, right? A sense of positive emotion. And so that's not the only thing one does for depression, obviously, you know, but I think it's very helpful to clients. I had one client who said she really enjoyed architectural magazines. And I said, well, when's the last time you just bought one? And she was like, I can't even remember the last time. So it's simple things that can say, wow, I really, you know, this interests me. So those are some of my thoughts there. The other thing is normalizing the ups and downs of life. Now, clinical depression is about much more than the ups and downs of life. And I certainly work with clients and coordinate with medication if that is something that needs to happen. But I think when clients begin to feel a little bit of a lift, they can think again in a little more cognitively in expanded ways, and normalizing the ups and downs, normalizing you know, the range of emotions that people feel. Again, trying to reduce some of that shame. You know, sometimes I'll incorporate books, movies, you know, characters that people can relate to potentially that perhaps have gone through depression themselves, so that they can see models of it. You know, the darkness doesn't last forever, even though it can feel that way. So I think those kinds of strategies can be helpful as well. I like to use a lot of adjunctive treatments, right? So not just talk therapy, but integrating music, art, poetry, you know, color. We just talked about that. You know, so aspects of kind of living in the world that clients can access when they're not in the office. Right. So different adjunctive therapies, I think, can be really, really helpful. And of course, there's data around things like exercise and depression. Of course, that's a motivational issue as well. Even for people who aren't depressed, exercise can be a motivational issue. Right. But I think that, again, if we can begin that virtuous spiral, where one positive thing opens up a space for, you know, thinking of something else you can begin to intentionally integrate into your life.
However we approach it, the important thing here is to find that small entry point where we can get in and disrupt the pattern. We want to expand our clients' capacity to take in those positive experiences. Now let's just quickly review some of Shelley's ideas here. She gave us 5 ways to help clients move out of a low motivation state and create a space for change. 1, we can have them make a list of all the things they find pleasant. 2, we want to introduce a small entry points of positivity, like a color or a song that they find pleasing. 3, we want to normalize life's ups and downs. 4, we could point to pop culture examples of people overcoming adversity, characters that clients can model themselves after. And 5, we might use adjunctive therapies like art and music to help open a client's senses and create a lift in their experience. Now, as Shelley said, she looked at these strategies as a way of creating a kind of virtuous spiral for the client. To get some further insight into this idea, let's hear from Dr. Kelly McGonigal.
Well, I was mostly captivated by this idea of an upward spiral. And I had this image of somebody, you know, stuck in quicksand or something like that. And how, in order to get out of that quicksand, you need this sort of upward spiraling energy to literally pull you out of that quicksand. And I wanted to share a quote from a paper. It hasn't even been published yet. This is a quote from the abstract I'm waiting to receive when it's like on press day when it comes out. It was a study that analyzed people who have major depressive disorder, their experiences of time, and did these in-depth interviews to find out how they experienced time. And the primary finding is that people with depression have lost the ability to influence or change the present. The present is rendered meaningless, the past unchangeably negative, and the passage of time turned into a dragging, inexorable, and viscous continuance. I thought that is such an evocative and accurate description of what it can feel like when you're depressed, this idea of being stuck in a present that is unchangeable and never gets to any better future. And so I thought this idea of a virtuous spiral, what Shelley's really talking about, and of course, pleasant activities are one way to do it, but you need to get people to resist the present moment in some way. And that's part of what behavioral activation is. And it's different than how people often try to help people through mindfulness, where maybe there's a push towards the acceptance angle of mindfulness. You need to accept what you're feeling, accept the present moment. People with depression often need to resist the present moment and prove to themselves that there is something that can be changed in the present moment. You know, depression is not so much avoidance like you would see in anxiety, but it's a kind of like total surrender to the present moment. So I think anything where you have people say, I'm going to do one thing different today, I'm going to make the present moment different in one way. It doesn't even have to be a pleasant activity, but that's really what starts the positive spiral. You have to prove to yourself that you can change the present.
That was an interesting way of describing depression, a total surrender to the present moment. Clients need to push against that surrender to help bring about change. Now, in the next part, we'll look at a very specific way that low motivation fuels depression. I'll see you there.